Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Let's stand as we read. Good to stand and get a stretch in case I go 2 hours, which I don't think so. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, "Thou shalt not kill. Whosoever and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Father, again we come to your word, and again the inadequacy to really dig into thy word and to bring out what is there is ever present in the weakness and the frailty of the flesh and the humanness. But we ask that the Spirit of God will somehow open up to us something this evening from this passage that we could use. Father, there's a lot of stuff here. There's technical stuff and terms. And so I'd ask that you would just give us some mercy, some of your mercy as we go through this, and we need your grace that would be sufficient to look at this subject in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Again, this time, I really haven't had the time to prepare for this one. So I promise you it's going to be rough. Matter of fact, I've got a section here of a paper clip of about 6 pages that I haven't covered that goes into the the technicalities of this. And if I open it up and go through there, I could just glean some stuff in there. So I'm going to go into the first part here, and maybe this is a very, to me, a very deep section. And I'm really pretty big on trying to make things practical. So I went through 6 years in Bible college, and it's just all knowledge, 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 without much application. My last 2 years, I switched and went to another school, and there was some more practical put on things. But if you just go through all of this, learning the meaning of words and the outlines and stuff. So let's just jump in and see where we go. Ask God to give you something from this. Let's see. I need to get to the right spot. I'd enjoy Jesus. And, okay. There it is, I think. All right. I'm going to focus on a little bit of the aspect of the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law in relation to anger. And so this first little bit, I'm just going to draw some things out. There is a main point that Christ is trying to bring together in the Sermon on the Mount, and I think that would be the spirit of the law. You take the scribes and Pharisees when they got the woman caught in adultery. They were coming along with the letter of the law, and Jesus had a different spirit than them. They actually, of course, they had ulterior motives, and they wanted to trap Jesus and everything, and it ended up that he trapped them, and they had to leave. And so the spirit of the law is what we want to sort of learn some things about. And there's details, a lot of details here. We have details in our life. Our life is made of all these different details, and if I would just maybe do a little bit of application here towards marriage for a little bit. It's very easy just to go through your marriage, go through life and whatever, and forget that there may be some needs that a husband has just sort of slipped up on. You know, when's the last time you kissed your wife? You know, if you've been missing for a few weeks, you know, and you get there and you want to kiss her 59 times, you know, easier to stay up to date. Because there's needs in the wife. We all got needs, but she needs love. And husbands are commanded to love their wives. Marriages fall apart because of failure to keep up a good, strong love relationship. The Jews were stuck on details of the law, and they missed the important thing. They missed Christ. And so we need to be careful in this area. Christ is going to show the Jews himself and his relation to the law and his authority to the law and whatever. And the more he reveals himself to them, the more angry they get. So let's see if we can find something that God wants to say to us about this passage, especially looking at the spirit of the law. Later on, I've got technicalities and things. In the first few pages, I've just got some stuff here. I told you it's a little rough, but so what's God want to say to us in this area? The spirit of the law. A number of years ago, I was called in to help a church. I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. The man that was in there as a pastor was bad shape, and they couldn't get him out, whatever, and he was just death in the pot. And so they called me in to help. I don't remember what I did, whatever, but they did get him out. And so the spirit of the church was bound up in being destroyed. And so the legalistic of life, you can't just go up to your wife and kiss her and there, I got that done. It's not going to work. You know, you get home, you might find a rolling pin waiting for you. They're sensitive. You know, the Lord showed me, and if we go into these things that, and maybe I shared this, I know I've shared it with somebody, I think, since I've been here. But before I got married, God told me and talked to me about my wife. And he said, be my duty to keep her countenance happy. If she's not happy, you're in trouble, boy. So it's your job. And if her countenance has fallen and whatever, you need to find out why. And so it's very important, the details. And if she gets angry, you're really in trouble. Okay, so let's just jump in here and see if I can get anything of value out of this for you. How to have a real relationship. Chapter 5 actually deals with expounding the true meaning of the law and the teaching here. When you get into chapter 6, you get more into how to have a real relationship with God. And versus the scribes and Pharisees. And then chapter 7 gets very practical with spiritual living versus hypocritical living. All right. instead of anger in our lives, we could have something that might be similar to it. We could just be, see, anger as an expression of frustration and not getting your way and could produce some hardness in your life, in your relationship with others. And so I'm going to just look at some six areas of the moral law and try to tie them together somehow in marriage. And so what is the spirit of the law to me? What does God have to say to me in my marriage, in my relationship with others? If you're not married, you can think about being in a relationship with your parents or your brother or your sister or whatever. And so I'm going to just try to bring out some key thoughts for us to grab a hold. And so I'm looking at this, first of all, in a very different way on this subject. You know, God came to Jonah. He said, doest thou well to be angry? And he had the excuses. He had these excuses two times, and then he's basically, I guess he's done. Lost his commission or whatever, because he got bent out of shape. This is a big problem in our country. Road rage and all of this stuff. People getting killed on Black Friday and all this stuff. Excuse me. So, one of the things, the first, I got four statements, probably going after their traditions, they had moved into an understanding of the law and they'd moved into hardness and they had no relationship of love with God. Thus, they had really no relationship of love with their wives, their families, and for sure with Jesus. And without realizing it, we can become, so to say, we may not be angry, but we may be stuck in our ways with our habits and doing things. And if somebody comes along and sort of messes our schedule up a little bit, we may express irritability. Irritability is a low heat anger. And so, you know, you got this thing that irritates you, and then maybe the family just learns to stay out of your way. Now, let me give you a suggestion, husbands, that you just look at your routine. You look at your life. And I'm focusing on the husbands right now. You wives want to do whatever. But just look and see, is everything pretty much routine? What about if you did something different for a change? All of a sudden, you come up with a surprise. You show up with some roses for your wife, and it's not Valentine's Day or her birthday or your anniversary or something. Break the routine. Keep a little bit of suspense around. And she said, what's he going to do next? I wonder if he's getting hardening of the arteries or what's wrong with this guy? All of a sudden, he's changing a little bit. And so ask God if there's something that you can do. Maybe come in and because if somebody, we get set in our ways, and if somebody comes along and doesn't do what we want, get in our place, and so we can, without realizing, get our world built around ourselves. And maybe it's just a little irritability, but it's a place that Satan has some ground. And so maybe come up with a surprise trip, you know? Really surprise her. We're going to go down to the flea market and see if we can find a little something special for a gift. Go get a custard or something special, ice cream cone or something. Don't get all hung up on you. Because when we do, you know, we got our little kids. If we don't get them broke out of this me mode, they grow up thinking life is supposed to be revolved around me. And we got all these expressions that come out of their life. If they don't get fixed and whatever, they grow up to be angry people. And they can be a mess. And we got a whole world full of them. And so, what's God after in your life? Do you have something there? Do you have an idol in the closet? If they touch that, like my van being an idol, you know, and it got bent, it came out. God knows how to push your button, and maybe somebody else knows how to push your button. And so this thing is a real problem, and if we, I don't know if I will or not, go through the technicalities and all of this. So we can just go. So the Lord has set himself up as the authority with them. And he's the head of the home, established that when he walked down the Emmaus Road. And that's basically what we as parents, we establish ourselves as the authority. The father's in the home. And so if we have to discipline a child, we have to explain to them that I'm a representative of God. And you've done something bad. And daddy has to discipline you because of God. I have to obey him. And because you did something wrong. But without realizing it, though, we can think that we are the authority and we can spank and discipline in anger and we can wound the spirit of a child. So we may be in the place of God, but we have to represent him carefully as we go into this area. So if we set ourselves up as an authority, we are an authority, we need to represent God carefully. In a little bit, we'll go through some other areas to illustrate this. We take the key, we take some key thoughts and principles in this area. Let's see if I can rumble through some of these things. Here's one for you. Without realizing it, the mother trying to raise little kids especially could just get down to where her life is one whole routine. And without realizing that she could be wearing out. It's our responsibility as fathers to guard our garden and to make sure that no wrong spirit enters into our wife or our children. Because this is where we come out. We have so much bitterness in life. So many bad things happen to little kids and whatever. And we can't solve everybody's problems, but we can guard our garden and our area and watch. If you see a child that's beginning to express anger, there's some frustration there, some, maybe some self-will that needs to be dealt there. So if we don't do it, pretty soon we're going to be... Jesus talking about Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees here, I think, and their legalism. In 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, these guys were an angry bunch of guys, enough to put their Messiah on the cross. So they were really in a mess here. Let me just sort of go through these six thoughts. Jesus, these six areas with the same principle for each one of these. And I found this one from Mr. Jones, and so I wrote them down and then I worked things out. But I thought about this. An attitude of anger in your heart could replace an attitude of gratitude. And we could get selfish. And if we go into the lives of these scribes and Pharisees that Jesus is having to deal with, they were hung up on the letter, and Jesus said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so we have to watch these things. Thou shalt not kill, the law said that. And so let me give you a little something that was told me before I got married. We had some counseling, my wife and I. And he said this, when you go to bed, let her talk. She's got to get her day out. Now guess what happens when my pillow receives my head? I've got about 10 to 15 seconds and I'm dead. And she's over there reading a book, waiting for me to come in. Because she usually goes and reads, and then I come in. And then she's been waiting. She needs to unload the day. They need to unload onto you, fathers. It's like a volcano. let it out. So he said, let her talk. Now, there's a little bit of a problem there, because when I hit the bed, I'm gone. So here's what I'll do. I'll lay down in bed, she's reading, she's been waiting, whatever, and then she'll say, honey. And I go, oh, is it morning already? Yeah, you hypocrite. What do you want? I'm so tired. And I've got to yield that right. Our selfishness, irritability and whatever can be an expression of being angry that you have violated my time. This is my time. My head hits the pillow. I'm gone. You know, it's whatever, but we have to yield rights. We have to yield up our rights. And when we refuse to yield up our rights, then we're going to express it in some way. And I'm going to name some forms of anger in a few minutes. And so that was something he said, let her talk. Let her talk. And when we first got married, I didn't talk. You know, I've been a bachelor for many years, been half all around the world, I've been by myself a lot, and I just didn't talk. That was sort of frustrator. You got anything to say? Nope. You know? And, there's some people could drive 500 miles and they can talk all the way. I got a little grandson that's like that. As soon as you see him, he's talking. When he leaves, he's talking all the time. He's there, he's talking. You go on a trip. I hadn't gone on a trip with him yet. You know? He's just always talking. He's always got something to say. And so he needs to express himself like that. I'm trying to get him to listen a little bit, you know. All right, so the spirit of the law. There's a spirit and there's a legal, the letter of it. Here's another thought. That was the thought of your attitude. Just looking at your attitude from this chapter, without going into details, we have to watch our attitude of irritability. What are actions and thoughts? Are they connected with motives and desires? Of course, actions follow thoughts. They would have never killed Jesus. Jesus was no problem to them till he began to cross their lives and expose things about themselves to them. They were actually full of self, Luke 16:15, and all these different things. So anger is an expression of self that hasn't gone to the cross, hasn't been crucified with Christ, and it helps. It can mess up relationships. Marriages all the time are having really serious problems because of rights and people getting angry at each other. Let me give you another thought so I can keep going. I'm sort of going slow here. The law was a guide to holiness. Let's put this in here. The husband of the father is to be a guide of holiness in his family. And not necessarily to set up rules to keep everything holy and right, but to have a spirit, the right spirit. We rebel against rules, you know, and red lights and all this kind of stuff and being told what we have to do. So he has to maintain a right spirit within the family. And he has to watch that, guard his garden in this there. Let me go to another one here. Let me just check, keep moving because I've got quite a bit here. Key thoughts on the law was designed to bring us into liberty. So if we put the Father in the place of the law, and if we go through all these passages and dig into all the stuff that's in there, 23, say, just look at one of them. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Do you recognize that God's designed us as believers to be in fellowship with him all the time? But also that if we're Christians, we're designed to be in fellowship with each other. So what does it mean if we're in fellowship with God, but we're not in fellowship with our brother or sister? Is there something there? A lot of times these things, whatever, it's just a mild expression of anger and frustration and grief and whatever, and we tolerate it. And there's no power of God in our life or in our testimony, in our churches and whatever. It's designed, the law is designed to bring us into liberty. And so we got these different things. And he talks about going through the motions of spirituality, taking your gift to the altar and whatever. But yet you know your brother, your sister's got something against you, whatever. This is an expression of, I don't like you, you did something that I don't like, or whatever. And so these mild, gentle little things we just don't pay attention to are expressions of anger. And God says, even if you know that your brother or sister has something against you, you know, forget about the offering, forget about that, and go get it right. How many people have had something against a brother or sister for 50 years or whatever? Some little old something even. And so James talked about the law of liberty. Now the Lord is that spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17, James 2:12, law of liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if there's some kind of riff or whatever, there's no liberty. And we need to work on it. After we had revival in 1985 in our church, after it's all done, the dust all settled, the place had been packed out all the way to the front door, people driving an hour and a half to come, and a lot of things happening, people getting saved, people getting right with God, confessing things and failure to witness to a neighbor that died and all kinds of things. But in our church, after it was all done, after a little bit and things settled out over the next few weeks, we had half as many people as we did before. You call that revival? You call it backdoor revival. What happened was the Spirit of God had moved in upon us, and we had purity, we had unity, and we had power, and the hypocrites couldn't stand it. Or God moved some out himself. It was amazing. Then we could work from that. Could it be that God wants to do something in your family, in your life, in this church, in this community, whatever, and you're the one that's the key? And so we do this kind of stuff. We go off into churches and afterwards and say, well, we think the meetings are over. Time for you to move on. But no, what if God is coming right now tonight? I've heard it mentioned that we need revival here. Well, we always need revival. Revival is life again. You have to have life first, but we always need it, and we need it. So let's just see if, let's go on and see if there's anything God could knock you over the head with. So the law was designed to bring liberty. So if the law, the Word of God, whatever, doesn't bring liberty, there's a blockage. Deal with it. It's very hard to deal. I don't like confrontation and things like that. Some people seem to love it, but not me. I would not be a debater. You know, some people like to debate and whatever. I'm not a debater. All right. So now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is the Spirit of the Lord here? Or is there something quenching the Holy Spirit? Grieving the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:21 is called glorious liberty. The early church was born with it. They had it, and it's powerful. Here's another thought. It's designed, the law is designed to bring man back into fellowship with God, back into a relationship. And so all the way through the Bible, we've got these expressions of anger that come out, starting with Cain. And there is a spirit of anger. It comes, Satan is angry. He's angry. Someday he's only going to have a little bit of time. And he knows his time is short. That's why he's working really hard right now. But 24, God said, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Many times the only thing it takes is just to ask for forgiveness and say you're sorry. And it'll break that spirit of anger that is there. Designed to bring man back into fellowship with God and back into fellowship with each other. You see, just keeping the rules doesn't mean that we're going anywhere. Just so you got your motor running in your car doesn't mean you're going anywhere. You got to put it in gear. And something like just anger, just focusing on this, can stop the progress in your spiritual life, in your church, in your own family, and whatever. Let me get another one, sixth one on this. Just sliding through these. The law was not an end in itself. There have been some fathers that think that they are the law. And they are to represent God, but in themselves, they're not. And if you get in their way or whatever, they're the king of the jungle. And people learn to just sort of tiptoe around them. And this gets to be very, very touchy in things. So you need to pray. Sometimes, one time God showed me there was a problem with a pastor or whatever, and it was a very serious, serious problem. And God showed me, I had somebody else helping on that, and God said, let's leave that one alone. But you pray. You pray. You know, if you get around somebody that's got a short fuse or whatever, when they blow up, they can do a lot of damage. We need to be careful. I used to work with dynamite in my first church, and I'd go out to the rock quarry because a neighbor, he ran it and needed some help sometimes. And if I needed extra money, I'd go out there till I was going out there all the time, and God said, drop it. But dynamite, there were certain things you don't want to do with it, certain things it's designed to do, and there would be accidents with that stuff out there. And so you got to be careful with it. But I say unto you, he started this off, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now to get into that, I got to go into my technical section of that I haven't looked over. But Jesus is taking the law and bringing it to a new level. He always took things higher to be almost impossible unless the Spirit of God is in us. So you go to the fruit of the Spirit, and if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and angry, irritable, and bitter at the same time, and all these things that are expressed by it. But I say unto you, you know, when you play baseball, you got to touch all the bases. And the law was you touch every base. And so the umpire's watching this guy knocks the ball out of the park 50 yards on out of the stadium. I mean, it's gone. He runs around. He doesn't touch first base. According to the law, he's in trouble. But God doesn't work like that with us. He extends grace. Umpire saw it. It doesn't matter. I mean, he got a home run. Forget it. Now, if you got a bad ump, you're out. But God is going to be gracious with us. And so, if He's gracious and patient with us, we need to be that way with each other. And it's very difficult to do that sometimes, because the letter killeth. The letter breaks the fellowship. When the letter is expressed without the Spirit, there's no grace. And we need to do that. You know, somebody missed a base. Okay, He's after that in us. Now let me give you this statement on this. He who walks with God in the spirit of the law and not just the letter. Or we don't walk with God. I think it was Tozer said many years ago, and I picked this up from him. He who walks with God alone. And I put this in here with the spirit of the law. You know, one of the things I discovered many years ago is that when we come to church, usually everybody, we've got some kind of baggage. And Jesus is hitting the scribes and Pharisees. They just don't have a backpack. They got a whole wagon load of anger. And He had a way of pinpointing where the problem was and going out after it. And so the spirit of the law is to walk in the same spirit that Jesus did, with the spirit of humility and not pride and anger. Now, let me go on through. I do have lots to share. So let me just pick on through some things, some areas, and I'll have to... Okay. The scribes and Pharisees there, they were weakening the point of the law. Let's see. They brought people to themselves as a judgment and authority, and would use their anger. Like, the guy that... was he blind in John chapter 9? The parents were afraid of the anger and the control of the scribes and Pharisees. They get thrown out. They didn't have the right spirit in just probably so many different areas. They lost the concept of the fear of God. This is one thing. If we get angry, we actually, without realizing it, can move into the place of God. And Moses, I got several things he did listed back in this section back here. But murder was terrible. But Jesus says, hey, if you're just thinking about it, it's just as bad. The same way with lust and adultery when you get over to that section there. And an old Puritan said, he that would be angry and not sin must be angry but for sin. And also the old Puritan said, why is anger such a sin? It unfits us for duty. So this is quite a subject here. And let me just go through a few lessons here on this. I don't know how many I got, but anger, talking about here. Let's get some of the little tentacles of it. Resentment. Revenge, hate, envy, murder, gossip, slander. All of these would be in the area of going to hurt somebody, kill them. And the soft answer is there. So anger, he said, angry without a cause. Now this is going into my technical section. This is the first page on that. Angry without a cause. In other words, if you're going to be angry, you better have a good cause, a right cause. God has a high demand on this. The prodigal son's brother was angry, but he didn't have a cause. And then the father had to go deal with him. So if you don't have a good end, you're not going to have a good ending. In that you got to have a good cause at that. Be angry at sin. Be angry and sin not. Ephesians talked about that. Has somebody ever hurt you? I think I shared this when I was in fifth grade. Remember that about my haircut? Y'all remember that one last year? Brandon does. He's got a memory. But when my dad gave me, he'd give me haircuts, and he put the little plastic thing on and, you know, buzz it off, give you a buzz. But the one day, then he forgot the plastic. He went right up the center of my head, and I heard this, uh-oh. Now, remember, I'm already the shyest kid in the world, all self-conscious and everything. And I think he handed me a mirror. And we didn't rejoice. Oh, good, you got an inverted mohawk. And then he said, well, we might as well shave it all off. And now I'm a bald eagle. You know what I did? I had one of these, what do you call them, aviation hats or whatever. You got them all with the flaps. I wore that thing to school, and I wore it for a month. Talk about drawing attention to yourself. I might have started a fad, you know. But no, I was so self-conscious. After 2 weeks, my fifth grade teacher just had to see what this was, what's going on. You promised not to laugh? Oh, yes, I promised not to laugh. And so then we went out in the hall, and I took it off, and she laughed. And I died inside. Years later, here's what had happened inside of my heart. When I heard that she died, my first thought, there, God has got you back for what you did to me. See how that anger can go in there? You've been hurt. You got something down in there? You got something down in there? Just a little kid, and we're pretty sensitive and messed up, you know, and all these things. So without a cause, I didn't have a cause. I brought all that upon myself. Just, I must have looked funny. All right. Missing a few marbles, maybe, just whatever. It's just crazy. Okay, a good end. Three expressions of anger then come in words, looks, and mood. You don't have to say anything, just a look, whatever, can express it. You've got anger in your heart. It's the path to crime. It's the path to broken relationships. It can even be the path to hell. So many people are angry at God. Just angry at God. If looks could kill, we got that thing. All right. Now, raka is a term of contempt. You're worthless. I will open up this section and see if I can pick something up. Raka, what it is, to destroy a man's reputation, like speak evil with intent. It's the whispering, the criticism, the fault-finding, raka. Any way to destroy a person. And people, you know, have tried to destroy Keith Daniel. Envy. Envy. Who can stand before envy? That is a deadly form of anger. Just really bad. Thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Murder in the making. Murder in the making. Coming to a boil, the most extreme abuse, explosive of bitterness and hatred and wrath, is murder in the making. A foolish man which built his house upon the sand. I don't know why I got that there. This hellfire is the Gehenna, the valley outside of Jerusalem, to be burned, you know, actually to be burned alive. So the Jewish council didn't deal with the spirit of the law. They just dealt with the, and they killed people. Think about that. If you don't do what I tell you to do, if you don't conform to our religious whatever, we are going to kill you. Think about a system that if you don't convert to that form of religion, which we've got a real serious movement in our country going that way. Listen to this radio broadcast. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And so if you don't conform to me, think of how many in the Spanish Inquisition, in the name of Christ, murder. It's a design of Satan. It was a form of anger to those that would not conform. All right. The Apostle Paul was a pretty mad guy. He was really full of anger to go and kill Christians like he did. And I don't think he ever got over it. He just never got a... It was a state of his heart, and that Christ had to personally show up to get him straightened out. Because whoever got in his way, in a second he was changed. And so we have to deal with this. Start early, work on it often, work on it instantly when you see it. Just practical positive. Okay. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It will spoil the comfort and success of prayer. If you got it, God will not hear. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And what that basically is saying, if you've got the condemnation of the Spirit of God into you right now, God is greater than your heart, and He's coming over and He's saying, you got something. You better deal with it. God is greater than your heart. He knoweth all things. There's no value or purpose in prayer if we've got this condition in our heart. We can't be right with God until we get ourselves right with man. King Saul, he was really a mad guy, mean guy. He was really after David. Look, we can sort of tolerate things, but it's sort of like a cancer. It can grow into other areas of your life and affect relationships. Some lessons on this. Let's go to some of the old guys. What time did I start anyway here? Okay. Thomas Adams. The angry man, like the two hot disciples that wanted to call fire down from heaven, ordains himself the judge and would have God be his executioner. So in anger, you're setting yourself up in the place of God to be the judge over somebody else. Let God take care of them. How many people destroyed pastors? I could tell you some stories. I could tell you some sad stories. And I could tell you that things have happened to those people that did what they should not have done. Anger is an expression of the pride of life. Pride usurping authority that does not belong to us. Anger results in foolish actions. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of the fools. You know, the king, when we covered last Sunday night with Esther and Haman and all that stuff, he was a wise king. He went out for a little bit. And then while he's gone, Haman just basically hung himself there. But he went out to cool off and think things through. And so, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Fourth thing, forbidden to be a part of the believer's life, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. That's a command. It's a command. Hard to be meek and humble and angry all that time. Moses, he was angry for the Egyptian. He was angry with Pharaoh. Exodus 11:8, he went out in a great anger, murmuring. They were murmuring in the camp, and he said, what are we? And he was angry, and manna came down. Moses was wroth, the golden calf. Moses' anger waxed hot, and Korah, rejection of his authority. Moses was very wroth, and then ends up what? He struck the rock. Hear now, ye rebels! So, it's a pretty serious thing. And actually, anger usually costs us more than we're willing to pay after we've expressed it. Symptoms, seeds, rejection, you've been rejected, Moses was, ridicule, being favorites, playing favorites, false accusations, the irritability, the impatience, even the expression of enlarged veins. You ever see somebody? They're holding it in, but better back off. This guy, if he explodes, it's going to be a mess. Your plans go wrong. Your time is violated. Raised voice. Watch this one. Are you patient? Yeah, I'm patient. These expressions, hurry up and get out of here. glaring. Hurtful words, explosive actions. You throw things. You know, think about it. King Saul, he throws this javelin at David. Then he realized David could pick off a fly at 500 yards, He could have drilled him right between the eyes with that javelin. He was an athletic warrior, you know. But David let God take care of it. Damaged possessions, not returning your possessions, our reactions, and all these different things. Of course, we got the hatred and the envy and the cutting off communication with somebody, a form of angry, clenched teeth. You might get a locked jaw or something. Heavy breathing. You know? Just like an old bull. Fixing to storm away. All right. So, why should we not be angry? Eight things. Because, first of all, God has allowed this to happen in our life. He's a sovereign God. So we're angry at God. The Lord gave and the Lord take away, Job said. But God knew what Job needed. He needed those friends of his to get to that problem that he had. And he got angry with them. They got angry with Job and Job got angry with them. They had a real fun time. They were really having great Christian fellowship. Till God had to come down and bust up the fight. Get them all straightened out. Two, will it work for good if we get angry? David just, he didn't get angry at Saul. He just kept running and running and running. And it worked for his good. But when we get angry, it doesn't work for our good. You know, and then this old wise prophet comes in and nails him about his sin with Bathsheba. And what does David do? He gets angry at this guy, that this rich man that took the little poor man's sheep. And he didn't realize that he was being suckered into this trap, and he was really angry at himself. Because he was the man, and Nathan the prophet just nailed his height to the wall. And God got him. But it's interesting. He never did get angry at Saul, but he got angry on this thing. He had a sense of justice. But he messed up some lives. He messed up lives. And he cost him the rest of his life. And so, it's just really amazing. Anger is a temptation to sin, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as a common man. God, it helps if we will hold it back. This is why we shouldn't be angry. It will help produce a deeper character and patience in us. And so there's a town. There's three ways to go down to my dad's, and there's one town, the east way. The interstate way is 75 miles farther, but you can just go. But there's one way that's got 23 red lights. And if you're in a hurry, don't go that way. And it could tempt you. Man, Lord, I caught every one of them. I'm 3 hours late. You know? But God knows what you do. And you ever go to red lights, you're praying that it won't change? Do y'all do that? All right. Okay. Helps religious character. Trials are the ways of God, so we need to be patient with Him. That was Isaiah 55:9, by the way, when God says, "My ways are not your ways." Six is an opportunity to bless somebody. 1 Peter 3:9, and with Stephen, he's being stoned, he blessed. Seven, it's an opportunity to love somebody that maybe is hurtful and hateful, and love maybe many times can bring. It's an opportunity to suffer with Christ in these things, and that's the end. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this little lesson. We didn't go into a lot of the details on this passage, but we did try to glean some principles for our life, that we would not be angry people and we not have these other little expressions. So take these things and work in our hearts to help us to be clean from anything in this area. Because, Father, the flesh is prone to anger. But your Holy Spirit, we need Him, because He can conquer that. Help us if there's things we need to make right with somebody. In Jesus' name, amen.